praise you, Father. Father God, we just thank you. We praise you. We magnify your name. We thank you, Father, that today, while we're here and everyone that's watching us online, we thank you, Father, that you have a plan and a purpose for their life. And Father God, we thank you that they will fulfill that plan and that purpose. We thank you today as we go to study your word. We thank you, Father, that your word will return void, but Father God, that that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us. And help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. But Father God, we thank you that you'll help us take that word and go out to the people who are lost and hurting and need help and share the love of Jesus Christ with a lost and dying, hurting world. Father God, we thank you for revival to this nation. We thank you, Father, for revival to this generation. We thank you, Father, for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. But Father God, we thank you that we come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own might, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability, that you be lifted up. We thank you today as we go to minister your word, that they will not see me ministering, they will see you ministering through me. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. But Father God, we also thank you for your anointing that's here tonight or today. We thank you, Father, that anointing will saturate us, change us, make us new. We thank you, Father, for everything you have done and everything you are doing both here and around the world. We give you the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise God. God's a good God. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Like I said, we do want to welcome all of you that are watching us online on Facebook Live or rhema.tv. We're glad to have you with us. And, you know, we as a church here need to understand that there's as many people or more people probably watching us online that there are even in this room. I do want to encourage all of you to check in here at Rhema so that that everyone knows you're here. We invite you to interact in the service by tweeting things, by saying things, but you know, if it was good, put it online. You know, usually people that hear something that they think is good, they talk about it. So we encourage you to do that. I know a lot of people, they're like, well, you have your phone out in church. Well, it's just, you know, it's a way of advertising that, you know what, God is good. Amen. Before I start today, I want to say a few things. I know Dad actually mentioned a couple of weeks ago that next time I ministered, I would talk about my trip to Greece. I actually ministered on Wednesday night, but didn't talk about it because I forgot. I don't really want to talk really long because I want to move on to the message, but I will say we had a wonderful time in Greece and Albania. I should say me because it was just me and Spiros, who's already over there in Greece. So anyway, but it was an awesome time. You know, speaking of what we did in Greece, basically we got there. We taught in the school in Thessalonica, which is pretty cool to be able to teach in the same place that Paul taught. You know, so we have our school there. I believe there's about 35 or so students there. We also invited to a few other visitors that wanted to come and a few pastors around there and had a wonderful time there. At the end of class, we had a time where I prayed for the students. We prayed for healing. We had some miraculous healings that took place right there in the classroom. It was awesome. And then we went to Athens, and actually it was 111 degrees Fahrenheit in Athens that Sunday. And the AC couldn't keep up. It broke in the church, so it was awesome. Anyway, had a wonderful service that morning and that night. We had a special healing service. Wonderful things took place. And then a really cool thing happened while I was there. Rhema Athens, their school is not in session right now. It starts again in September. But while I was there, they actually signed the note and got a new building downtown Athens. And it's, you know, you have to understand Athens, you know, like most major cities in America, you know, a lot of people actually don't drive their own car. They take taxis or they have what they call, you know, the metro, the subway system. And so what's so awesome is that we are actually halfway between two metro stops. And so very easy access. So it's going to be, you know, pretty awesome for the students being able to come to school, also for the church. And we believe that it will really help us grow. But you know, what's really awesome is, it's not awesome about the Greek economy. I'm sure you've probably been hearing about their economy has been crashing. But now when I say building, I should say floor. We got the third floor of a building right now. That's what we were able to purchase. And that floor was selling like 3 years ago. That would cost about $500,000. We were able to purchase that for a little over $125,000. The second floor and the first floor are available as well, but they want $250,000 each for those. So you know, not only did we get 1/5 of the real price, we got it for half of what it's selling for even right now. So you know, God's good, amen. And you know, they're doing wonderful things happening in Greece. But now the thing that I really enjoyed there in Greece was I was able to basically follow Paul's second missionary journey. I was able to go to Philippi. In fact, if you want to know about Philippi, Monday night of camp meeting, I preached a message talking about the prison there and talked about Paul. I encourage you to watch that. You can watch it online at Vimeo. Rhema videos right there. You can watch it online or rhema.tv.com or rhema.tv, sorry. You can watch archive videos. But we went to Philippi. Then, of course, we were in Thessalonica. We were in Athens. Then we went to Corinth. So we were able to kind of follow where Paul ministered. And it was pretty cool, you know, especially in Corinth, because we know he was there for around 18 months. I mean, so he definitely walked some of the same streets that we walked. And in fact, it was myself and Pastor Spiros there from Greece. And also we had some pastor friends from Croatia, Pastor Demir and his wife. And so I was just kind of joking around. I said, you know, see this pillar right here? Paul leaned against this pillar. Now, I don't know if he really did or not. I made it up. You know, it was a really awesome experience, and it really brought home, you know, life. And actually, I reread a lot of the New Testament actually while I was there. You know, kind of, you know, just looking at things, seeing things. You know, not only Acts there where it talks about that, but also the letters that he wrote. You know, just kind of thinking about, you know, the time, and it just was, you know, a really awesome experience. But from there, we went to Rhema, Albania. And Rhema, Albania just started this year in January, and we have roughly 85 students there. And Albania was a country under communism until 1991. And so, you know, they really didn't have a lot of freedom. It's was 70% Islamic. In fact, they say that there is about 0.07 percent of the population claim to be born again Christians, and so you know, 200,000 people, give or take a little bit. There's 3 million people in Albania, and I want to tell you what the people of Albania, they're excited about God. I mean, it was interesting. I did a pastor roundtable, you know, and to hear these pastors say, you know, we're not just first generation pastors; we're first generation Christians in our family. We grew up Muslim. We're just learning how to be a Christian, much less a pastor. But, you know, we don't know what our kids are going through. We don't know what it's like for them to have to be there in the church and what, you know. And we're just talking about the family, you know, because God ordained the family before he ordained the church. And so we talked about, you know, spending time with their family, talked about what it was like growing up in the church and different things like that. And then they're asking all kinds of different questions about, you know, like I said, they're first generation Christians. But it's so awesome because they're so on fire for God. I mean, they're so excited about God. And what's really awesome is, you know, a lot of times whenever we go open Rhema in a country, the first people who come usually are already pastors. And that's awesome because that's the way we can really spread the gospel. But not only do we have some people who are already pastors, already leaders of the church, we have a lot of young people, you know, that are excited about what God's doing, because and it is so awesome there. I really liked Albania. In fact, my dad actually before I left even said, please tell the people of Albania, you know, hi for me. He actually met them in Athens, but never been to the country. But there's just something about that country. You know, I told Spiros, you know, he's from Greece, you know, and I said, you know, there's something about Albania. He goes, I know. There is. It's just something about that. And I want you to continue to pray for the people there in Albania. I mean, the doors be open. I mean, the harvest field is plenty. All right, but praise God that we're training laborers to go in the harvest field. Not only that, we were able to release two new Albanian books, or Brother Higgins' books in Albanian language while I was there, so that was awesome. And I believe there's 9 more on the way. Actually, Sparrow said 10 more on the way. And that's another way to change the nation is through the books. And so, you know, sometimes we don't realize, you know, what kind of impact we have all around the world. But even all around the world right now, we have people watching us. Amen. So let's just go ahead and get started. We had a wonderful time in Albania and Greece, and you know, I'm going to be traveling more. But, you know, the main thing is we're here. And I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 5. And I'm just going to preach today what the Lord said to preach on, okay? So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. This is Paul talking to the church at Corinth through his letter. It says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I am determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Now, I want you to notice verse 2. It says, "For I am determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." And that's really my message. You know, we should only know Jesus Christ and him crucified. That should be the message that we preach. That should be the message that we live by. You know, and it's interesting, Paul talking here, because if you know Paul's background, and if you know, you know, where he came from, and you know his education, you know, Paul actually could come and amaze people with his use of languages. I mean, he spoke many languages. He was a very educated man. But really, he said, "I'm not coming to you with education. It's not about how educated I am. It's not about whether I can philosophize or not." Because they're in, if you understand, they're in Greece, especially there in Athens and also all over Greece. I mean, that's where the philosophers were from. You know, Plato, Aristotle, Socrates, all the great philosophers were there. And in fact, a lot of the preachers of the day, I understand, they actually would use, you know, philosophy in their sermons, you know, so they would look like they know a lot. Because, you know, and philosophers also, they like to kind of like argue and really, I mean, you know, try to debate. But you know what? Most of their philosophy were theories. But Paul says, "I'm not here to give you a theory. It's not about a theory. It's not about something that might have happened. It's about Jesus Christ and him crucified. Something that did happen. Something that changed the world." Do you understand that Jesus' life changed the world so much, it changed your calendar? Do you realize that? Because if we would have started from Genesis, Genesis happened roughly around 4,000 B.C., Do you realize we would actually not be living, you know, in 2017, we'd be living in 6017. But Jesus came and it was so significant, it changed everyone's calendar. Amen, amen, amen. I mean, you know, that's how significant Jesus is. But you know what? It's not about changing your calendar, it's about changing your life. And I think the reason Paul was so... he was so determined to preach about Christ is because he experienced God for himself. You know, he had that experience there on Damascus, you know, where see, Paul, you know, before his name was Saul, and he was there killing Christians. But then God got a hold of him. You know, and thank God it's not about what happened in your past life, but it's about what your future holds. You know, because what Paul had was potential. You know, there's many people that have a lot of potential, but they're not doing the right things right now. But praise God, if you have an experience with Christ, it'll change you. It'll make you new. It'll change who you are. But, you know, what's kind of sad right now. And I'm not here to judge anybody's heart because, you know, that's not for me to judge. It's you know, God judges our heart. But there are a lot of ministers today, and I mean, I know certain people that what they're doing today is they're calling in consultants to consult on how to minister in a certain way, how to look, you know, how to, and there's something to say about marketing. I know all about marketing, okay, but I will tell you that when it comes to looking right, maybe even talking right, acting right, I'm probably the worst. You know, because it's not really about trying to put on some kind of whatever. I know one particular minister that they had a vocal coach work with them. I'm not gonna, to actually get the right kind of preaching. You know what? I guess it's good to better yourself, but here's the deal: you have to be who you are. Now, the way I understand that Paul wasn't, you know, on the outside, he really wasn't a dynamic, charismatic person. But it didn't matter what was on the outside, because it was what was on the inside. Because on the inside, he had the temple of the living God. Jesus Christ dwelt on the inside. You know, and it's interesting because if you go all throughout, you know, in Paul's epistles, I mean, that's all he talked about was Jesus Christ and what he did for us. How amazing it is. How awesome it is that we, you know, we know Jesus Christ and him crucified. But, you know, so many times today, it's all about the show. It's all about the outward appearance. Now, you know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, I've done it too, with showing videos and showing stuff. And nothing wrong with that. But you know what? If you don't bring Jesus Christ and him crucified, the videos do no good. Nothing does any good. Because, it's not about the show. It's not about the person. Now, it's interesting because, you know, my grandfather, you know, he told a bunch of ministers, he said, when you guys are all gone, I'll still be ministering. Because I built my ministry based on the word. You know, we have to be based on the word. You know, and you know, it's interesting because if you ever ask him any kind of spiritual question, and I had plenty of times to ask him spiritual questions, all he would go is, well, what does it say in the word? And he would go back to the word. He always went back to the word because it wasn't about his opinion. It wasn't about what he thought. It wasn't about, what might have happened, but it's about what the word says. What does God's word say? You know, and it's really all about Jesus. You know, and of course, today is Communion Sunday, and I really wasn't planning to preach a communion message, but you know what? Every time we preach, we should preach about Jesus. You know, but it is sad sometimes that the only time that we do think about Christ's death, burial, and resurrection is when we do have Communion Sunday or when we have Easter Sunday or whatever. But you know what? All year long, we need to understand it's because of what Christ did. You know, Christ came for a purpose. His purpose was for all mankind, not just for all Christians. Because some people think, well, Christ came for the Christians. No, he didn't. He came for the world. John 3:16, for God loved the world that he gave his only son. Not he loved Christians. And in fact, you realize when Christ came, there wasn't a Christian. Some people, I know it blows them away because they're like, you know, there were no Christians until Christ came. Do you understand? Because the word Christian is to be Christ-like, is to be like Christ, to be a follower of Christ. And so until he came, nobody was a follower of Christ. There were just Jews and other people. And there were different classifications of Jews. And well, if you read the Gospels, we really read about mainly the Jews and the Samaritans, and they didn't like each other. You know, but the thing about it is that Jesus came to change our life. It's interesting, you know, of course, I thought I could finish a sermon without going to John 10:10, but Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. That was his purpose. That was one of his purposes. You know, I know I talk about it a lot, but you know what? You know, a lot of people have met Jesus as their Savior, but they don't really know him. And maybe they don't know him because not enough ministers are talking about Jesus Christ and you know, what he did for us. Talking about what his life did for us, how it changed us. It did more than save us. All right, Jesus didn't come. I mean, he did come that we might have eternal life, but that's not the only reason he did come. He came to change your life. He came that your life be better than it is. I mean, that's why Jesus came. You know, but the reason we don't have more people talking about it is because we don't have more people experiencing it. You know, and I get it. I'm not trying to, you know, pick on anybody, but it's one thing to experience Jesus as your Savior. But another thing, you know, we have to learn what Jesus did. He died on the cross, but you know what? Before he died on the cross, he took stripes on his back so that we could be healed. And I know most Christians probably understand healing as well, but they don't, not all Christians understand that healing is for you no matter what. It was given to you 2,000 years ago by his stripes. You were healed. Not you will be healed, but you were healed. Because so many people are praying that they're going to get healed. How are you going to get something you already have? See, so many times people are trying to get something they already have, but they've already been healed. They've already been set free. They've already been made victorious through Christ Jesus. But what we really don't understand what Jesus did for us is he became our sacrificial lamb. And we don't understand that because we've never gone to the altar to slaughter goats and rams and lambs and all those things. Man, when you read the Old Testament, it'll change what you think about Jesus. I mean, I just thank God that I don't have to have my backyard's not full of different animals. You know, and the worse you are, the more animals you have to have. So, you know, the guy that has a lot of goats and rams and lambs, I mean, probably not the most best person in town, but praise God they know how to get back in fellowship. But the thing about it is that, you know, with Jesus, he became the eternal sacrifice for us. So that we're made in right standing. We don't have to get back. We've been made. You know, Paul says, later on in one of his books that we were crucified with Christ. You know, understand that Christ dwells in us. Now, it was awesome last night. Most of you know that my granddaughter lives with us. We've raised her from since she was born. She's 3 years old. And last night, it was in the middle of the storms. Anyone hear storms last night? So I don't know where she got it from, but she has some kind of wand or whatever, magic wand or whatever. And she said, "Pa, do you know that I have powers?" And I said, "Really?" He goes, "You have powers?" She goes, "Yeah, I have powers because I have Jesus Christ inside of me." And he says, you can't see him when you cut open my belly, but I have him in my heart. And then she said, and you know, when ghosts and goblins try to come around, that I can say in the name of Jesus and they have to leave. It's just so awesome. It's just so awesome. But how many of us know that? That we have powers on the inside. That when things are tough and things look like they're not going to work out, that we can just ask God to help us. We can just know that we're victorious through Christ Jesus. You understand? You're victorious through Christ Jesus. Everything's through Christ. All we have is through Christ. We can do all things through Christ. It's all about Christ. You notice it doesn't say you can do all things through you. It doesn't say you can do all things through brother so-and-so. It's not about any kind of minister. Praise God for great ministers. But it's not about a minister. You know, I heard a person say, you know, this is another minister. He goes, you know, I understand what they say, but I don't even like it whenever they refer to, I go to brother so-and-so's church. Because it's not about brother so-and-so, really. It's about Jesus. It's about what he's doing You know, and if you're talking about brother so-and-so, I didn't realize people are just trying to say, you know, trying to let people know. But a lot of times we exalt different ministers on a pedestal. And, you know, and I understand that. I understand, you know, as far as that we do need to honor people, and I get that. But sometimes I actually like it when I see on Facebook or even people sometimes say it to me, but they kind of feel bad about it, when they just refer to me as Craig. And the reason I like it, you know, not that, you know, I don't deserve to be called Pastor Craig or whatever. Sometimes I don't know if I do deserve to be. But anyway, the fact of the matter is they're not lifting me up. You know, because I don't want you to lift me up, because, you know, we should lift up Jesus. Because it's not about me. It's about him. It's about, you know, so it's not about who we are. It's about who we are in Christ Jesus. And you know, it's interesting that so many years ago, here's the Apostle Paul's talking about that our faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. It's not about some man, you know, saying some kind of wise sermon. You know, it's not about somebody just coming up with all kinds of awesome things. You know, and sometimes, I mean, you know, it's just, I mean, there are so many people that spend so much time trying to prepare the right message with no anointing. I mean, you know, it might be good. It might be a good talk. You know, it might get a good couple, some good hand claps. But everyone goes home and say, well, that was good. But you know what? The next time the devil attacks them, they don't know what to do. Well, yeah, but brother so-and-so was talking about some movie. Well, that's cool. I mean, nothing wrong with talking about movies. I mean, I like movies. But how does that help you in life? Well, brother so-and-so was talking about, you know, the politics. Well, how's that helping in life? I'm going to even go further. Well, Pastor so-and-so, he speaks every time about the end times. Nothing wrong with speaking about the end times every once in a while. But you know what? How's that helping me today? You know what? If you can't make it to the end times, what's it going to matter? That just came up from, I don't know where that came from. But if you die before you get there, you can have it all figured out. What's it really matter? You starved to death before you made it to the end times. You know, I don't really know what's going to happen in the end times. I just know that Jesus is coming back. That's all I really know. That's the only time that really matters. And I know the Bible says occupy till he comes. And I understand that there's going to be different things that, you know, that are going to happen. And we may be here or we may not be here and all that kind of stuff. But the point is my job is to preach Jesus till he comes. You know, no matter what goes on in the world, and maybe it's good to know what's going on in the world, but you know what? That didn't get anybody saved. I mean, you know, I'm here to change someone's life. And you know, most people are kind of confused about the end times. They don't really, and most of, you know, a lot of them have theories and this and that. You know, I remember as a little kid, I remember they were talking about the different horses. And you remember the red horse used to be Russia, right? It was the USSR, but now the red horse is not Russia, it's China, obviously. You know, well, I don't know how did it change? I'm not sure. And I understand people are trying to use wisdom, and I'm not trying to make fun of people trying to, you know, understand prophecy, but we realize we are living the last days. I understand that. You know, and the point is that our job is not to scare people about the end time, because that's what a lot of end time preachers do. They scare you. But it's about talk to people about the love of God and how much God loves you and how much he cares about you, how much he wants to show you his love through his son, Jesus Christ, and how you can have a relationship with Jesus and how once you do, it'll utterly change you. And you know, the way you used to live life, it will be changed. I mean, that's more awesome. You know, and it's not about any kind of man's wisdom, because, you know, really, when it comes down to it, I don't understand everything. I don't understand how it's going to happen. I just know that God says that it will. I know my faith is in God. I don't have all the answers. You know, but I don't think God expects us to have all the answers. You know, and I think it's really interesting because I never read in my Bible that when Jesus was alive, that when he was walking, you know, there and all over Israel, I never read, you know, where he actually put an advertisement on the radio there in Jerusalem saying something like this: "Get ready, get ready, get ready. This week only at the Jerusalem Coliseum, come see the amazing Jesus, the one that walks on water, that changes water into wine, that feeds many people. See the healing, see the miracles, see the amazing Jesus. Let him mesmerize you with his amazing teaching. Come see Jesus, bring the family, bring the kids. He loves kids. Come see Jesus, Jerusalem Coliseum, this weekend, Sunday, 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 don't miss out." I never read that in my Bible. I never read, you know, where Jesus, before he goes to a city, he sends, if I was going to send anybody, you know, in advance to go meet with the radio and TV, I would send, there's four guys that I would send: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They all know a lot about Jesus. And those are the guys I would send, but I never saw that he sent Matthew, Mark. Now, don't send Peter, because he might not be good. He might cut someone's ear off or something like that. You know, he might fly off the handle. You never know about Peter. But, you know, I never saw that he sent his different people ahead of him. And there's nothing wrong with advertising, okay? But sometimes there is wrong with super spectacular advertising when it's all about you. Now, you know, if you want to advertise that brother so-and-so is going to be at a place and you can come see Jesus, that's great. But, you know, it's not about coming seeing brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. You know, and if there's miraculous things, it's not about brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so doing miraculous things. It's about Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's about the power that we have on the inside of us. You know, and our faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. It's not about what man's, you know, wise words. You know, sometimes I feel I have dumb sermons. I don't have wise sermons. I say stuff that comes to my mind. Sometimes it's funny. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes I laugh at myself because, you know, but, you know, I'm just who I am. I don't try to speak fancy. I don't even know how to speak fancy. Well, I guess I just showed you I could speak fancy if I wanted to. You know, I do have an education. I did go to school. You know, I am kind of smart. If I take an IQ test, I fall, you know, the smart level, upper maybe genius. Not upper genius. I mean, you know, maybe lower genius level. But, you know, I've told people before that I'm the smartest person I know, but I never act like that when I'm up here, because it's not about what I know. What I know is I know Jesus Christ. I know him crucified. I know that Jesus changed my life. I know that I can come to him anytime. I know that I've been sanctified, been washed with the blood. I know that no matter how much I've messed up, no matter what I've done, that he still loves me. That he still cares about me, that he's still there for me, that he doesn't remember my sins, but he's excited about my future. And I know he makes me more than a conqueror. I know he makes me victorious. I know that I am everything through Christ, but I'm nothing without him. I know that with Christ I have superpowers on the inside. That I can do whatever I need to do. And I know that, you know, when things aren't going good, I can go to Christ. I know he can help me. I know he can guide me. He can give me direction. You know, it's amazing what we have on the inside. You know, but what amazing it is that so many people, I don't even know if they really know what they have. And I talk about it a lot, and we speak about it a lot, but it's so amazing how so many people don't know what to do. And they're hoping that somehow their life is going to change, but their life should have changed whenever they accepted Jesus. But they don't know Jesus because they don't know him. They don't have a relationship with him. It's all about having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, here's something I thought about this last night. You know, I know my wife. I know the things she likes, the things she doesn't like. I know what would tick her off, what would not tick her off, and what would push her buttons, what would not push her buttons. I know what, you know, I know what she likes. I know my kids. I know what they like. I know what they don't like. I know my parents. I know what they like, what they don't like. You know, I know my friends. You know, I know my sister on what she likes and doesn't like. I know different things about different people. But the thing is, the reason I know them is because I have a relationship with them. And I know them and they know me. And that's what it is with Jesus Christ. If we know him, then it changes us. We understand what we have. And a lot of times that we have so much that we don't understand. And if we do understand, we sure don't act like we understand. Because so many Christians seem like they're hurting. They don't know what to do. I mean, there's so many pastors. I mean, every week you read about Pastor so-and-so that stepped down from his church. And I think what happens is because, you know what? On a lot of these pastors, there's so much pressure to conform to the mold that people have to come up with the next greatest sermon. But you know what? Paul is saying, I'm not here to come up with the next greatest sermon. It's not about me coming up with any kind of sermon that's great. But it's about me letting Jesus Christ come out. Because it's not about some great sermon. It's really not. It's a great sermon if you talk about the word. You know, and if you go through, you know, us here at this ministry, you know, my grandfather's sermons are, I mean, you might think they're great, but they're not real. I mean, they're just pretty simple. They're talking about, you know, being a stickler for the word, that God's word works. You know, it's not hard. You know, and the thing about it is, to kind of go a little further, and I'm not talking about, there's nothing wrong with understanding Greek, understanding Hebrew. I don't mean understand it, but you know, read, you know, the concordance and figure out some Greek words. Sometimes it can help you. But I found out a lot of times when ministers, they start ministering, they throw those words out to make them look like that they're really smart. And I was listening to a minister the other day and really understood what he was saying, but kind of, and I don't even know if he was trying to go back and use some words and, you know, and act like, and then he was saying some Old Testament stuff. And I don't even know if I agree. I agree in theory with what he was saying, but I don't know if I agree with everything he was saying. And the fact of the matter, his Greek words and Hebrew words were confusing me so much. I'm like, man, I could preach the same sermon a whole lot simpler. You know, people might not think that I'm real smart, but man, they get it. Because I understand what he was trying to talk about. I understand what he was trying to say. But, you know, what he was trying to say in his sermon was God doesn't condemn us, and he doesn't. And really, it's the devil that condemns us. But the devil uses God and says, well, you know what? God's mad at you. God's not ever mad at you. The same Paul guy here, he said, you know what? Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Neither height nor depth, you know, there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. God loves you no matter what. You know, and that's the thing, we don't understand how much God loves us. I don't think that we really understand, even if you had a functional relationship with your family, you know, understand that our God's our Heavenly Father, all right? But even understanding our Father's, the earthly Father's love, it's still not enough to understand God's love for us. You know, but the thing about it is that God loves us so much. But, you know, Paul here, he's being a minister talking about that. But, you know, I think that every Christian should just know about Jesus Christ and him crucified. And the way we talk, the way we walk, the way we live It's all about Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's all about, you know, what I have is because of Jesus. You know, the things that I have, the things that I enjoy, everything that I have is because of what Jesus did for me. Because if Jesus wouldn't have came, first of all, if Jesus wouldn't have came, we wouldn't even know how to count our years. I mean, you know, we'd be all confused. But I mean, think about what would have happened if he wouldn't have come, then we would still be slaughtering rams and lambs and bolts, you know, goats and bulls and having wave offerings. Or all the stuff in the Old Testament. The thing about it is that Jesus did come. He came because he loved us so much, but he came to change our life. And you know what? He wants to continue to change your life. So he's showing forth his love to you. You know, and we do understand, like I said, you know, at least my granddaughter understands, that the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells on the inside of her. It also dwells on the inside of me. I got the same spirit on the inside of me. And if you were there Friday night of camp meeting, Mark Hankins did a wonderful job talking about the same spirit. Is on the inside of us. It was with Jesus. You know, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and power. But you know what? That same Holy Ghost and power, he anoints you. You know, we read about Stephen, you know, full of Holy Ghost and power. And see, that's what Paul is talking about. If you'll just come talking about Jesus Christ and him crucified, you're going to see the power of God in manifestation. I mean, you know, when I say the power of God, it's not just healings. It's not just miracles that happen here. But I'm going to say, you're going to see the power of God in manifestation, you know, when your finances change, when your health changes, when your family life changes. You know, when there was a lot of contention, but now there's a lot of love. You know, Jesus changes us. Now, you know, he changed Paul so much, he even changed his name. You know, there is a distinct time between Saul and Paul. I mean, you know, Saul was, that's why it was easier for him to say, the old man has passed away, but all things have become new. You know, because he didn't even have his name anymore. You know, he was a new person. He was a new creature. He was even named something different. He was no longer Saul, but he was Paul. He understood that he was redeemed by the curse of the law. He understood that you know, it didn't matter. That Jesus was with him and he loved him and he helped him. And he helped him through any situation, any circumstance, that he could always go to him. That he'll never leave them nor forsake them. You know, and we have to understand that it's about Jesus and him crucified. It's about that same Jesus that was with Paul, is the same Jesus that's with me. The same Jesus with Stephen and all the disciples. And everyone down the line is the same Jesus that's on the inside of you, that's helping you in every situation that you ever face. There is nothing that you'll ever face alone if you have Jesus. You know, we're never by ourselves if we're born again. If we have Jesus on the inside, we're never by ourselves. He's always there. He's there on the inside. But you know what? We have not because we ask not. You know what? And ask what you will and it shall be done. We talked about that on Wednesday night. Understand that what Jesus did for us is amazing. And what he continues to do for us is amazing. And, you know, as we read all the different letters that Paul wrote, and we can get better insight about what Jesus has done for us. You know, and sometimes I think it would be good for you actually to read your Bible. And I say that kind of funny because there are a lot of Christians that never read their Bible, you know, except for they might bring it to church and they look at some certain scriptures that they've learned, you know, but, you know, they read a lot of good Christian books by a lot of good Christian authors, but they don't actually read the Bible. They don't actually, they start and, you know, say, well, you know what, I'm going to read Philippians and read the whole chapter. You know, they say, well, I'm going to read my favorite part of Philippians, and you read your favorite verses. But, you know, it's interesting to see, you know, what went on in the Bible, what went on, you know, and you know, you have to understand that, especially reading from the writings from the Apostle Paul, that he wasn't one of the 12 disciples. Some people don't they thought, well, maybe Paul took over for Judas. No, it didn't happen. In fact, when Paul started coming around, everyone was afraid of him. They're like, no, no, you can't come around me. We don't know if you really converted or not. I mean, you know, and I get it. But the fact of the matter is, he started saying, you know what, but I know Jesus Christ and him crucified. And, you know, the old things are passed away and all things become new. You know, and if you see his heart and you see his life, and it's so amazing. I mean, you know, I always said that he should probably be a coach. Paul would be a good coach. Amen. I've gone too long. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person that's here. And we thank you for each and every person that's watching us online. We thank you that you'll help them to understand that it's all about Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's not about human wisdom. It's not about saying the right thing at the right time, but it's about letting God, through Jesus, speak the right message, the right things at the right time. Father God, we just thank you for each and every person that's here. We thank you, Father, that if anyone is here that does not know Jesus Christ, that today that they'll come back home. They'll come home the first time or come back home. We thank you, Father, with heads bowed and eyes closed. If there's anyone here this morning and you say, Craig, I don't know Jesus Christ and him crucified. I've never met him, but I want to this morning. Lift your hand and we want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here and you say, at one time I was in Father's house, but I've kind of turned my back and I went away and I want to come back home. Anybody here that wants to be saved the first time or wants to rededicate their life to God, lift your hand across the auditorium. You want to meet that Jesus. There's a hand back there. Thank you. Anyone else? You know, someone broke the ice now. Anybody else that's here and you said, you know what? I want to meet Jesus Christ. I want him to change my life like he changed Paul's life. I want to know that Jesus you're talking about today. Anybody else? You're here. Let's all stand up. If you're here today and you raised your hand or you didn't raise your hand, but you should have raised your hand on any invitation, just come down here. We want to pray for you. So if you raised your hand or you didn't raise your hand, but you want to come down here because you want to meet Jesus, come down here. I tell you what, it'll change your life. It'll change your life. Hallelujah. Anybody else want to join this one? Amen. The life-changing experience. Anyone else wants to come down? The altar's open. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How you doing, man? What's your name? John. Nice to meet you. I'm Craig. Hallelujah. You know, John, you know, Jesus is a gift. Just like when I think of a gift, I think about Christmas. You like Christmas, John? Now, Christmas time, you know, is the time we have Christmas trees. And under the tree, when we were little kids especially, our parents used to put presents and it would say like to John from mom and dad or whatever. And remember, I don't know about you, but my parents would put Christmas, you know, presents there for a couple of weeks. And sometimes we'd get there and shake them. Sometimes we'd know what size the box was in. But we couldn't wait to Christmas Day to open up the gift that belongs to us because our name was on it. Today's your Christmas Day. It's time to open up the gift that belongs to you. And maybe if you're coming back for rededication, it's time to open up the gift again. And you know, sometimes, you know, I know I've pulled some of my toys out of the attic when I was a kid I was playing with. And I'm like, man, this is pretty cool. Experience it again, you know. You know, it's just so awesome. All right, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to pray with you right here. I'm going to send you to a place they're going to pray with you more. They're going to give you some information, tell you about a class that we have here. Amen. Just close your eyes. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you for John. We thank you for his life. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing in his life. Father, we thank you for restoring him like never before, forgiving him from all his sins. We thank you, Father, right now that John's life will never be the same again as he takes this gift of Jesus Christ. Father God, we thank you that you're changing his life forever. We thank you, Father, that you're just doing a work in him. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. John, just turn this way. This is Greg. Just go with him. He's going to pray with you more, give you some stuff. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.